We are going to hear tonight from President Joe Biden in his State of the Union address, where he's expected to offer updates on Russia, Ukraine, and provide a roadmap for the ongoing challenge of inflation. For more on this, let's bring in Bharat Ramamurthy, National Economic Council Deputy Director. Bharat, it's great to have you on the show again. The Russia-Ukraine situation and inflation, it appears that these two things might be tied together. Can you give us any sort of preview on what we should expect to hear the president say on those two fronts tonight?
Sure. I think the president is going to provide an update on the latest in Russia and Ukraine, the actions that he and our allies have taken to address this crisis. But he also knows that issues about our economy and inflation are top of mind for the American public, and he's going to address that as well. You know, I think the context on the economic side has to begin with the fact that since the president took office roughly a year ago, we have created more jobs than in any single year in the history of the United States. We've seen the biggest single year drop in the unemployment rate in the history of the United States. The unemployment rate is sitting at 4%, which is much lower, much faster than anybody expected a year ago. So there's a lot of good news in the economy. Just this morning, there was good news about the manufacturing sector in the United States. In the last several weeks, we've seen a number of companies, whether it's Intel or Texas Instruments, talking about announcing new investments in new production in the United States, in Ohio and Texas and Michigan. So there's a lot of good news in the economy. We understand that inflation is a problem, is a concern for a lot of families. It's something that the president has been focused on for several months now, and he will continue to remain focused on going forward.
Now, at the same time, the messaging that we've heard from the White House in the lead up to the sanctions on Russia was that, you know, American consumers might start to feel the pain point, especially in energy and oil. How will the president kind of square that message as the sanctions continue to ratchet up here? It seems like most Americans kind of already understand what's happening in Russia, Ukraine, but there is an uncertainty by which they're wondering how much will prices go up at the pump when I try to fill up my car.
Well, to take a step back, the design of these sanctions was to inflict the maximum amount of damage to the Russian economy and to Russian oligarchs and to Putin, and to minimize the amount of damage to the American economy and American consumers. Of course, there are going to be some follow-on effects, but that was the basic design of those sanctions. And what we have seen so far is that the sanctions are having that kind of effect on the Russian economy based on the latest data that we've been seeing. The sanctions do not impose sanctions on Russian energy. That's in part to help American consumers, in part also because at the moment we feel like those would be counterproductive. But it's the case that we're going to have to monitor this situation very carefully going forward. And the president has made clear that one of his focuses here is to make sure that American consumers and American families aren't getting particularly hard hit by this. He's calling on American companies to step up and do their part. And one of the things he has said is that oil and gas companies should not take advantage of this moment to further raise prices on American consumers. We're all in this together.
Now, on that point, I mean, it's not just the oil and gas industry, but consolidation has been something that the White House has been talking about for a while within the context of wanting to break down any sort of anti-competitive behavior that may be driving prices higher. What types of industries are you seeing that in? And is the president going to kind of detail exactly how he goes about addressing what might be anti-competitive behavior that could be driving prices higher?
Sure. In fact, just yesterday, the administration announced a new initiative to go after anti-competitive conduct in the ocean shipping industry. So just to give you a little bit of context there, right now there are three global alliances in the ocean carrier industry, the people who transport goods between the U.S. and Asia. And those three global alliances make up 95% of ship 95% of the goods between the U.S. and Asia. And what we have seen is since the pandemic began, certain prices for transporting goods are up 1,000%, 1,000%, 10 times. And obviously for those price increases, they filter their way through. They hurt American businesses and they hurt American consumers. And so what the president is committed to doing is taking on that kind of conduct in this industry. Just yesterday, he announced that the Department of Justice would be joining up with the Federal Maritime Commission, which is the primary regulator here, to make sure that our laws are being robustly enforced. And he's calling on Congress to take action here. This is actually an area where we've seen significant bipartisan progress already in both the House and the Senate. So he hopes that we can deliver something to the president's desk shortly to address some of the competitive issues in this industry that are raising prices for American consumers and for American businesses.
Now, that's on the fiscal policy side of things, but it seems like some of the commentary that I've seen has said really the big tool that could be used here to make sure that aggregate inflation goes down is the Federal Reserve as they look to tighten policy rates in their next meeting in March. How is the Biden administration, I guess, thinking about not necessarily coordinating because, you know, the Federal Reserve has independence, but figuring out what types of fiscal policies would be helpful but not too preventative in abruptly stopping the U.S. recovery as the Fed tries to pull back its pandemic-era easy money policies?
Well, look, as you said, the Federal Reserve is independent. We're not going to comment or suggest what the Fed should or shouldn't do on monetary policy. One thing I will say is that the president has nominated five people to serve on the Federal Reserve Board of Governors, including renominating Chair Powell, nominating a current board member, Lael Brainard, to serve as the vice chair of the Fed, and naming three additional folks to serve on the board of governors there. Many of these folks have already received bipartisan support from Congress in the past, and each of them would bring valuable perspective to the board of governors at a time when the Fed has a lot of complicated decisions before it. Those folks have not been confirmed yet, because Republicans in the Senate Banking Committee refuse to show up to vote for these folks. I want to be clear. This is not to say that they are going to come show up and vote no. They refuse to come to the meeting and therefore are depriving the committee of having a quorum so they cannot advance these nominees. It's one of the most irresponsible things that I have seen in recent years from Republicans in Congress. And it is preventing us from putting folks on the board who have commanded respect across the political spectrum and getting them to work, analyzing the situation we're in and figuring out the best path forward for the Federal Reserve. I really hope that we're able to break this gridlock on the Republican side and move forward in a responsible way.
I mean, have you had any conversations with those on the Republican side? I mean, their holdup is apparently with Sarah Bloom Raskin, that pick for vice chair of supervision. They say they want to get more information about her views on climate change and her dealings with a fintech company. Are you optimistic that they can get a vote soon? Have you had those types of conversations?
I mean, look, you'll have to talk to them. Frankly, in my view, the objections and concerns that they have here don't hold a lot of water. We've gone through the normal process that we've gone through before. So Sarah Bloom Raskin herself has already been confirmed twice by the Senate with bipartisan support both times. She's attended a hearing. She's filled out the questions that they've asked of her. And again, if Republicans want to show up to that meeting and vote no, that is their right. I don't think that that's justified given the incredible experience that these folks have, but that's their right. But to not show up at all and therefore prevent any action on this, as I said, it's irresponsible. And it sets a very dangerous and bad precedent for how we're going to address and deal with nominees going forward.